Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This is week three of our series called Family Circus. So if you're new to our church this morning, maybe this is your first time, we're in the middle of a series called Family Circus because we've all confessed the last few weeks is that sometimes our families can feel like a circus, right? Sometimes we feel like the ringmaster, other days we feel like the juggler, and some days we feel like the clown. It's just life is always a circus. So week one, we learned about how to juggle all the responsibilities and all the eternal things and non-eternal things in our life. Last week, we talked about the elephant in the room. And today, can you guess what we're talking about? Well, if you had your bulletin, you could at least cheat off of the title. We're talking about walking the tightrope of life. When I was a kid, which really wasn't that long ago in the comparison of some things, when I was a kid, I felt like my whole life living for God was like walking a tightrope. Some of you, maybe you grew up in church. I know many of you didn't grow up in church, but if you grew up in church like I did, matter of fact, especially as a teenager, I kind of had this mindset, and I don't think my parents put it in there. I don't think the church put it in there. I really think it was just the enemy kind of messing with me. But as a kid, growing up in the church, I really kind of had this conviction that if it's fun, it must be sinful. Anyone ever think that? If it feels good, it must be bad. If it's fun, it must not be right. It must be wrong. And so I kind of felt like my whole life living for God was a tightrope, like a walk of a tightrope. But now that I'm adult and that I'm trying to serve God and I've discovered the grace of God and the help of God, there are still times when I feel like living for God can seem like it takes a whole lot of effort to stay on the right path. And sometimes that path can seem narrow. And sometimes that path can even seem like I'm walking a tightrope, like any misstep can cost me. Any misstep can be very hazardous to my living. And the Apostle Paul, when I read about him, he kind of felt the same way. Let's look at our scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 27. Listen to this. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and I pray that the next minutes of time as we look to your word, that you will help us be people that finish the race you've started us on. But Lord, in the middle of the chaos and the circus life we sometimes live, that we'll stay on the path that you've set before us. So Lord, help me this morning to speak the word you want spoken. Help us to hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you thanks and praise for that. For it's in your name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. This scripture is one of the most challenging scriptures to me personally in all of God's word. The Apostle Paul says that I fear that after I have preached to others, that I myself might be disqualified. That scripture challenges me because I'm pretty convinced that the Apostle Paul was a little bit more spiritual than I am. And I don't want to hurt your feelings. I think he might be even more spiritual than you are. Right? Well, Pastor, why would you say that? Because he wrote most of the New Testament. Have you written most of the New Testament? He started multitudes of churches. He was persecuted to the point of having his body beaten and thrown in prison, and he kept praising the Lord anyway. He kept serving God anyway. This guy who's doing all these heroics for God is the guy that says, I've got to be careful to make sure that after I've preached to others, I myself don't fall off the tightrope. Are you picking up what I'm putting down this morning? And I'm just thinking, if the Apostle Paul had to be careful, then I better be careful too. If he had to pay attention, if he had to train his body, condition his life to stay on the path that God has for him, then you and I are going to condition our lives to stay on the path that God has for us too. Paul knew he had something to lose. Paul knew that he was aware that there were different forces trying to pull him off the path that Jesus had for him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said something sort of similar in Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 13, Jesus says this just straight out. He says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter into it. But listen to this. But small is the gate and narrow is the road. Or one translation says, narrow is the path that leads to life, and only a few that find it. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus is not prescribing living a life that is narrow-minded or narrow in experience or narrow in focus. I like what Brian Houston says in his book. He said, one of his books, he said, there's a huge life on the narrow path. And my sermon and a sentence this morning sounds a lot like that. I would say this, the best life happens along a singular path. So there's a lot of people that believe in order for me to take in all the best that life has to offer, I've got to try out this road, I've got to try that road, I've got to test this experience, I've got to have this experience. But Jesus says that life and life abundant only comes through Him. The best that this life has to offer is along a single narrow path, and that path is following Jesus. So I want to talk about this morning, how to stay on the path or how to walk the tightrope. And sometimes in life, I know that serving God, it does seem like a broad road. It's easy. But if we'll be honest, there's moments in our life when temptations and forces come upon us that the road seems narrow and the road seems hard. And maybe you're in one of those seasons where the road seems narrow and the path seems hard. If that's you this morning, I believe that God can help you stay on the path. So how do I stay on the path? How do I successfully walk this tightrope? I shared the men's prayer this morning. You know, the Bible says that it's not about those that start the race. It's those that what? Finish, that are being rewarded. That's what Paul said. He's talking about finishing the race. So how do I stay on the path that God has for me? Here's the point of the morning. Is to realize that there are forces at work trying to make you fall or make you fail. Paul, he says, it's like an athlete. Now, notice he didn't say, I am an athlete, which kind of gave me a lot of grace when I read this, because I didn't wake up this morning and run 5 miles, nor did I go to the gym, nor did I eat something healthy. Actually, I did eat something healthy, but then I came to church, and there was some kind of apple donut thing down there, and I was sabotaged at church. But it had apple in it, so I thought if it has apple in it, it must be healthy, right? I mean, forces come from everywhere to knock you off the path. Sorry, that was sort of my own personal dilemma there. But there, have you noticed there's forces that try to make you fall? Even in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says like this, he says, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I find myself always doing what I don't want to do. The Apostle Paul was very keenly aware that there are forces in his life and outside of his life that's trying to knock him off the path that Jesus has for him. And friends, can we just all have a moment of honesty and says that happens to us too? Right? It happens to us in things that are much more spiritual than apple fritters on a Sunday morning. It happens in the real life. It happens at work. It happens at school. It happens in the marketplace. It happens when you're tempted, and even pressure is on you to compromise, to do something wrong. Even when people say, well, no one will know about it, you'll get away with it. It's what everyone does. There's all these forces trying to pull us off the path that God has for us. But Jesus said in John 10 that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's always trying to kill, steal, and destroy what God's done for your life. And I just want to give you, maybe this will help you this morning. If you feel like you're in the middle of trying to do the right thing for God, you're trying to honor God, and you say, Pastor, every step I take, it's like I'm bombarded on this tightrope. There's some kind of force that's trying to knock me off, and it seems like every time I take the right step, it feels like I'm about to get the wrong result. There's some kind of force always. Can I just tell you, that is evidence that there is an enemy that is out to kill what God has done for you, which is also evidence that God has done something in you, and he has something for you, or the devil wouldn't be fighting you. Amen? The enemy is, he doesn't try to rob a broke person. Right? He tries to rob from those that have something to lose. And you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got something to lose this morning. You've got joy that God wants you to have. You've got peace that God wants you to have. You have a legacy for your family that God wants you to live and lead. And friends, Jesus wants you to have that, and the enemy wants to steal that. And the way he tries to steal that from you is try to get you to get off the path. A few weeks ago, we were in Ecuador on our missions trip. And on our last day before we went to the airport, we did a little bit of sightseeing, and we took a trip to the equator. And we've got a picture of Jason there walking the equator. And you may be wondering, well, what's the big deal? Looks like he's trying to keep his balance. And the tour guide that day said, guys, I want you to get on the line. They had it marked for us. And I want you to do kind of like a sobriety test. I want you to try to walk from here to there with your eyes closed, not falling down. Just 10 feet. And I got on there and I thought, well, this will be easy. And I don't think any of us succeeded. We all failed. We all take a few steps. And I mean, we're like looking like, you know, crazy people, drunk people. It looked horrible. And we couldn't believe it. And the guy told us, he said, well, what you're doing is when you close your eyes, what that does is that sort of disorients you from what you see. And now you got to go about what you feel. And when you're walking on the equator, you are actually feeling, you can feel the magnetic forces of the North Pole and the magnetic forces of the South Pole. You can feel them pulling on you. And what would normally be an easy thing just to walk 6 or 10 steps in a straight line, all of a sudden now it's very difficult because you are aware that there are different forces pulling on your life. Friends, can I tell you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are different forces that are pulling on your life. And as long as you stay in the middle, they're going to win. Brother Joey? What was amazing to me about this was if I would take 2 steps to the right, I could walk in ease. Or if I'd take 2 steps to the left, I could walk in ease. But when you stay in the middle, you are fully aware of all the forces that are trying to debunk you and they're trying to derail you. Friends, the same is true in our spiritual life. We got to be people that are committed to Christ and determined that I'm going to stay on the path no matter what forces plague my life. Amen? We got to decide we've got something to lose and we've got something worth keeping, so we're going to stay on the path. Well, Romans chapter 8 says that if you live according to the flesh, you'll die, but by the Spirit, you'll put the deeds of the body to death. You'll live. He's basically saying make a choice. Don't spend your life walking the line, but choose a side. Joshua said something very similar. He said, choose today who you're going to serve. Jesus said it like this, that we should fix our eyes on him. Or the word of God, Jesus didn't say that. Here's the second thing, is that we've got to keep our foundation secure. How do I stay on the path? You keep your foundation secure. Listen to what Paul said. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do, listen to this, what it should do. Paul's saying, I have to train it to do what it should do. Now, he's not talking about lifting weights or exercising those things. What he's talking about, he said it's like that. He's basically saying this, there's a difference between me preaching the word and me doing the word. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying that doing is different than being. For the believer, the Word of God is our foundation. As I was studying for this series, I've learned a lot of useless information, but I started actually looking up, walking a tightrope to see if there's any kind of correlations that maybe compared that would help us today to visualize and hear what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us. And I discovered this, that one of the detriments, if you're on a walk a tightrope, is that if you're the tension on the rope or the cable or the foundation that you're walking in dramatically affects the possibility or the percentages of success. Because the more slack there is in the rope, the more it's not just going to move up and down from the impact of your steps, but actually it's going to start moving left to right because of the slack. And if you'll start reading about the people who have lost their lives or had injury from walking a tightrope, you'll learn that this terminology of slack is really important. If there's too much slack, failure is inevitable. It's going to happen. The same is true for us as believers. When we get too much slack and our convictions about God's Word and what God's Word says to us, when we get far away from operating on what God tells us to operate, the Apostle Paul said, listen, there's a difference between preaching to others and walking it out myself. It's not enough for us just to know the Word of God. We've got to live out the Word of God. It's our closeness to acting out or walking or standing on the Word of God that guarantees or negates our success. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 3, when you look at the very first temptations of Adam and Eve, you discover that one of the first things that the enemy comes to begin to cause some slack in Eve's life and Adam's life to get them to fail in a way they would never fail is he begins to ask them, well, did God really say? And he would fill in the blank. He began to cause a little bit of question in their heart about God's Word. He just added a little bit of partial belief. I want to tell you, listen, if you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. Partial belief is disbelief. I want to say that again. Partial belief is disbelief. I'm not sure if everyone's receiving it or if you're mad or ticked off, so let me say that a third time so you can get all the way mad. Partial belief is disbelief. And we live in a culture today, the American culture, and listen to me, the American Christian culture today is trying its best to convince you and convince me that partially believing the Word of God is the same as having faith of God. And friend of mine, that is not the truth today. Every Bible, every book, every verse of it applies to our life today. And when we begin to disregard any part of it, we are disregarding God's favor upon our lives today. We do so. Every bit of space that we allow between what we believe and what the Word of God says is slack that's going to cause a misstep in our lives. We were singing that song this morning, and I don't know what song it was, but it was talking about walking by faith, right? How did that song go? I believe a breakthrough is coming by faith. I receive a miracle. And we were singing that, and I love what that song says. But as we were singing it, I just felt the Holy Spirit questioning me this morning. Greg, are you really receiving that by faith, or are you receiving it just by hope? Did you know walking by faith is different than walking by hope and wishing? Faith is when we take the Word of God and we act on it. Faith is when Moses steps into the sea, and the water hasn't parted. How many know that Moses didn't step into dry ground? He stepped into water that began to be dry ground. It didn't split until he took a step of faith. Faith is not us hoping or wishing or saying, I believe in my heart. Faith is when you believe in your heart to the point you allow that faith in your heart to show up in the steps you take, friends. We cannot sit any longer and ask God to do the miracles when all we want to do is sit and wait when he's calling us to step out. Amen? Now, none of that is in my notes for that, so that's a divine word for somebody this morning. Faith is not watching and seeing. Faith is hearing, believing, and acting on the Word of God. And until we are acting on the Word of God, we're doing what Paul said. I don't want to just preach the Word to someone else and then me be disqualified. He said, no, I've got to apply it to myself. My faith has to be more than just something I say. It has to be the life that I lead. You know, Jesus teaches us in his temptation of the enemy. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the enemy, and the enemy came to him and began to ask Jesus these questions. Are you really the Son of God? Begins to offer Jesus shortcuts on how to get what God's promised him. And every time the enemy would try to tempt Jesus into doing the wrong thing, did you notice what the enemy used to tempt him? He used partial truth. Did you know the devil knows the word of God? I've been studying this book my whole life, but I'm thoroughly convinced the devil knows the Bible much better than I do. He knows exactly what it says. But Jesus stayed on the foundation. He stayed on the path because he knew the word of God too. Listen, I'm not prescribing that we all go home this afternoon and sign up for Bible college. We all get our PhDs in the Bible. I just think if we'll act on the part of God's word we know, we'll be successful. And if we'll commit ourselves to knowing more and more of God's word, his word will be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. Keep us from falling off and staying on the path. Galatians chapter 1, I don't know why I'm harboring on this so much this morning, but Paul said, Galatians, he said, I'm amazed how quickly you're deserting from the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and you're turning, listen to this, you're turning to a different gospel, which is not even a gospel. Evidently, people are troubling you and trying to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be under a curse. In other words, the Apostle Paul knew that there were going to be people that tried to just not do away with the word of God, but twist the word of God. Actually, we live in a nation today where both are happening. People are trying to, one, eradicate the word of God out of every public arena possible. And in places where they can't remove it, they try to distort it. But the way we stay on the path is by staying close to the word of God. And this would be a great place for me to advertise the fact that as a church, we're reading the word of God together on the church app. And if you would love to, we would love for you to be reading the word of God with us every single day. Every day I get up and I read the word of God on that app, and I can look and I don't see who's doing what, but I can, it tells me there's 24 check marks or there's 76 check marks today. It lets me know the number of people who've also already read that day. And what an encouragement it is to me. Here's the third thing to keep on the path this morning is you got to keep moving forward. Do you notice the guy in the beginning of the on the video, he didn't take his lunch with him? He didn't have a sleeping bag on his back. He didn't really plan on being there a whole long time, right? He was trying to get from point A to point B. His job was to keep moving forward. Look at our scripture again. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what I should. Otherwise, I fear after preaching to others, I myself. This whole thing is present tense. I am training. I am moving forward. I am taking action. Paul is saying this is a continual discipline to stay in the game, to stay on the path. You know, we're all familiar. We're in Arkansas, so we're all familiar with this terminology called deer in the headlights, right? You know, and rebels used to go hunting deer with spotlights. I know none of you ever dreamed of doing that because you're too spiritual, but people used to do that. And it's outlawed because it's too easy, right? Once you put the light on, they don't move. And sometimes I feel that believers are like the same way. The spotlight gets on us and we freeze. The pressure gets on us and we freeze. But Paul says, I train, I keep moving forward. And if you're gonna go forward in your walk with Christ, you gotta keep going forward with him. Galatians chapter 5 asks the question. He says, why you are running so well, who has obstructed you from obeying the truth? Such persuasion does not come from the one who called you. Listen to I'm just gonna read some of these to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, know ye not that they who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run. In other words, it says, keep going. Keep pursuing God. Hebrews chapter 12 says, wherefore we are, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that hinders us, and let us run with passion the race before us. I just sometimes fear that, and I feel the temptation myself, that when the pressure is on, when we feel those forces on life, that our tendency is to stop. When what we ought to do is just keep pressing in, keep following, stay on the path by keep moving. Let me just say this to you this morning. The narrower the path feels in the moment, the more important it is for you to keep moving forward. So if you're in a straight this morning, keep moving forward. Megan, if you want to come. Point number four this morning is this. Realize that falling doesn't have to be fatal. The guy who we watched this morning, his name escapes me, but he has a sister also who's a tightrope walker. And she hasn't been walking tightropes lately because she fell several years ago. But in researching this, one of the things I've discovered, if you want to learn to walk the tightrope, one of the first things they teach you is how to fall. Because how you fall is going to determine your chance of survival. And his sister fell, but recently they did another stunt just like this. I think it was like 35 stories high in New York City where they both walked together. Because even though she fell, she didn't let her failure be the end of her story. Now, for me, if that was me, number one, I wouldn't get on there. Number two, if God let me survive, I would think that would be his grace telling me, stop. But I admire the fact she didn't give up. She got back up. Proverbs says a righteous man falls seven times. And what does he do? Who was the guy that said righteous people never fall? Besides Jesus, everyone else I've ever read about in the Old Testament or the New Testament had some hiccups in their life. They had some failures in their life. And Paul says, he knows he's not saying I've got to live a perfect life. He says, no, I'm determined that I'm going to keep training my body. I'm going to keep a guard on my life. And when I fall, I'm going to get back up so I will not be disqualified for the life that God has for me. He determined to finish. Did you know success in every arena is not determined by people who are perfect? It's determined by people who finish despite their failure. You know, I was an 80s and 90s kid, and one of the big names when I was in school was Michael Jordan. You remember Michael Jordan? Right? He hasn't played basketball in how long? 15 years? 20 years? I don't know. It's been a minute. And yet, if you want a good pair of shoes, if you want to look cool while wearing them, right, they still sell them. And they're even more expensive now than they were then. He was the man. But did you know that before he played in his first NBA game, his sophomore year of high school, his coach cut him from the team? Despite winning 6 national championships, he missed over 12,000 shots. He lost over 400 games. And 25 times, he had a shot to make the winning bucket and missed. What a failure. I mean, come on, let's admit, Michael Jordan, when it comes to basketball, is a failure. Who agrees with that? What? Why don't you agree? Because he's made $27 gazillion? Is that why you disagree? Because he's won multiple championships? Because his tennis shoes are still, I'm hoping to be like Mike when I put them on? Why would you say he's successful when he's failed so many times? Because he stayed on his path, right? He kept shooting. He kept trying. He didn't let one failure knock him off the path that he was on. Boy, if some athlete can be that committed to a path that though has monetary value, doesn't have any eternal value, Can't we be committed to the path that God has for us? Can't we even be, I'm out of that number, miss 12,000 shots? I can relate to that. We could play a game of 21 today, and I could relate to that. Jesus said point blank to Simon Peter, one of his 12 disciples, he said, the enemy's asked to take you, to sift you like wheat. Listen to what Jesus said, but I prayed for you that even though you fail, your faith won't fail. And that when you've turned back, you'll strengthen your brothers. In other words, a failure in life, please listen to this. This is the words of Jesus. I'm just kind of putting in a simple sentence for you. A failure in life doesn't have to equal a failure in faith. I've watched too many people who let a failure in life turn into a failure of their faith. It doesn't have to be you. Why don't you say that out loud with me? It doesn't have to be you. Say it again. It doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be you. A failure in your life doesn't have to be a failure of faith. But you can keep moving forward and you can keep your faith in God. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning with me. I want to close by just telling you, hey, listen, there is a path above all the meaningless stuff in life. It may seem like a tightrope at times, but God elevates us to a new life. And we stay in that life. We stay on that path. We stay in the abundant life that God has for us by steps of faith, one by one. And maybe this morning you've never gotten on the path. Maybe you've never followed Jesus by committing your life to Him. Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you've been in church 101 times. Or maybe this is your first time to ever hear. But you just know, because of what was said or despite what was said this morning, you just sense the Spirit of God telling you, hey, today is today to get on the path with me. Today is today to get on the path following Jesus. And today you need to make that prayer your very own for the first time. He said, that's me today, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not going to call you forward or have you stand up. I just want to include you in a prayer in just a moment. Would you lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. I need to get on the path today. I need to get on the path. Amen? Who else today? Amen? Who else? Amen? Amen? About five hands so far. Anyone else? This is your day to get on the path. Secondly, this morning, you've been trying your absolute best to follow God, and yet, like the picture of Jason on that equator line, you have sensed different forces pulling you. I want to tell you this morning, the only reason the forces of darkness come against your life is because they are aware that you have something worth stealing, which means that God has put something in you, and He has a promise for you. And He can, even if you failed this morning, He can lift you up if you'll keep your foundation on Him. If that's you this morning, Pastor, I've done more than feel the forces. I've failed. Listen, a failure in your life does not have to equate a failure in your faith. If you'll let God pick you back up this morning, if that's you, just hear that word. Hear the word of the preacher. I'm not even going to ask you to respond this morning. Hear the voice of not just me, but hear the voice of the Spirit today calling you to get back up, to put your feet on a firm foundation, which is the Word of God and His Spirit speaking to you. And keep moving forward. I want to ask you to stand with me all across this room today. Several lifted their hands saying, listen, I'm not following Jesus today, but I need to start. And so I'm going to ask you to say a prayer out loud with me that we're going to pray with them. And those who lifted your hands, I'm going to give you some instruction in just a moment. But the first part of this prayer, I want us to pray together. Then I want to pray for the rest of us. Let's pray this out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thanks for making a life abundant possible for me. Thanks for making it possible for my sins to be forgiven, for my past to be erased, and for my future to be bright. Today I'm choosing to follow Jesus. So Lord, cleanse me of my past. Forgive me of my sins. And from this moment forward, I'm going to follow you. I believe you, Jesus, are the Son of God, that you lived, you died, and you rose again to be my Savior, to be my leader. So from this day forward, I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we clap like crazy for those that are coming to the Lord today. Amen. We love you, Jesus.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.